We're starting this, started this series called It's Time, and it's built on this idea that as we start 2020, we've got some things we need to stop doing, some things we need to start doing, and it's just really, it's time. I've said the last 3 weeks that the gas is on the, yeah, some of y'all didn't figure that out yet, three times. The gas is on the right, brake on the left, gas on the right. It's time to go. It's time to do some things that Melanie and I both, mainly she came to me several months ago saying she just felt an urgency to get some things going, an urgency that I don't know if it's just the season for our community or a season for us personally, but most of the time, and God's kind of pushing Melanie and I and stuff, then he's kind of, all of us are kind of in that same realm. And so we started the series to walk through these things. Last week we talked about choosing joy. We talked about now's the time to do it. And when we started this series again, especially in Melanie, she felt an urgency to talk about prayer. We don't make a big deal about it, but it is on the website under our grow groups. If you feel like that you're kind of your gifting, and if you don't know your gift, we'll help you find that in our growth track. But if you like to pray, then Tuesday nights at 6:30, and other than holidays, they haven't stopped it. It's Tuesday nights at 6:30, there's a group that comes and prays here for an hour. And Melanie kind of has headed that up, and there'll be 2 to 3 to maybe sometimes 5 that will come, and they'll pray, and they'll pray for you, and they'll pray over these cards and things like that, but they do it all year round. So if that's something that you want to be a part of, all you got to do is show up. They would love to have you be a part of that, be a part of that prayer hour. It's every Tuesday at 6:30. But I want to take some time today. We're going to talk about prayer. I want to give you a couple things. On the way in, you should have gotten your sheet for the week for the 7-day restart. That is just simply to kind of keep us all on the same page and all going in the same direction. It's kind of our playbook for the week. Sometimes people tell us, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, now you don't have to worry about that because we've given you what to pray for, what to talk to God about, and the verses and some that you can meditate on during the week. The other thing we have for you, and these will be available after after service in the foyer, and you can pick those up. These are our 2020 prayer guides, and we've done these for the last couple years. But it's got, actually what I'm going to talk about today is in here in more detail. There's several prayers and kind of a map for prayer. There's places to write down your prayer requests, things that you've talked to God about. And I encourage you to do this too. There's a place in here to write down the places that God has answered prayer. I said this last week, sometimes it's when you're facing something you don't know the answer to, there's comfort in looking back and going, okay, God, you answered this prayer, and if you answered that prayer, then I know you'll answer this prayer. And it's handy to have these. There's plenty out there. If we run out, we'll print more and have more made and have them next week. But the greeters in the foyer will have those, as well as your giving statements for 2019 out there. So I encourage you to get these. But it's funny when we talk about prayer that, this is the nicest way I know how to say it. We all kind of pucker up when somebody says, who's going to pray, right? Okay, come on, y'all get real with me now. It's okay. Yeah, because if I say I'm going to pick somebody to pray in the room right now, some of you would crawl under the chair. Some of you look away if I don't make eye contact, he can't pick me. Some of you do like a deer in headlights, and you just look like, oh, please God, not me, please God, not me, and you don't move, right? And then some of you who don't mind it, no, me, or there's always the one person who's the guilt trip for the whole room, and we just sit here long enough, and finally some person's going to go, okay, I'm going to help Clint out, I'll volunteer, even though I don't want to do it. And then that guilt trip takes over. But see, that's not what prayer is. We make prayer, the other side of it is, we make prayer into this King James English experience. And if you've been around here before, you've heard me say this before, but the best I can tell, and I know most people, there are a few people who have immigrated here into our county from other countries, and they have really cool accents. But guys, whether you're white, black, or in between, we're rednecks. We got southern accents. We talk different than people. So why is it when I say, hey, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray for so-and-so? Everybody gets real serious. We take our hats off. By the way, God, I get the hat thing, the respect, but God doesn't listen to you better when your hat's off. So we take our hats off and we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, and we break into this King James and use these thous and whithersoevers and words that we don't even know what they mean because that's what we've seen somebody else do. And I have a friend that goes to First Baptist, and we have lunch regularly, and I pick at him because when we get to lunch, they always look at me. I'll make the pastor pray, and I just sit there because none of them will eat until you pray, right? Because the pastor's here, and we're all going to hell if we don't pray over our food. And so I'll just sit there and watch him. And he'll usually relent. He's the guilty guy. And he'll relent and pray. And he's as redneck as the day is long. But suddenly when he goes to pray for dinner, he's like speaking the King's High English. You know, like he's in the presence of Queen Elizabeth herself. And I just don't get it. See, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is simply this. It's having a conversation with Daddy. I'm one that like to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so we can all take part, and it's not a complicated thing. Now, are there people who have a gift of prayer and they just seem to flow, like you say, go, and they pray, and it's like they've been practicing the same prayer and it's just eloquent and they use the right words and they don't forget anybody and they do say all the right things and they quote four or five scriptures from memory. That's great, but that doesn't make it prayer. And it doesn't make it the only way to pray. People freak out, again, when I ask them to talk in public or ask them to pray in public. Or even worse, I like doing this. If you get a group of people together and you know, seven or eight people, and you say, we're going to pray, and I'm going to start, and then we'll go around and the last person say amen. What do we all immediately do? We all immediately try to think in our head, okay, I'm going to pray for the people in South Africa. That's who I'm going to pray for. And then you're okay, and you're thinking about God, I can pray, I can name all these places, and I can name the people, and I know a missionary there, and then the guy before you goes, Lord, I just like to pray for South Africa. And you think, man, now my topic's gone, right? And we start panicking. And you know, the poor guy who's at the end has to come up with a new topic every time it comes around because everybody keeps taking his topic to pray for, what to pray for. See, that's not prayer either. It's not the whole encompassing definition of prayer. People need to be able to, in every situation. Matter of fact, look at this verse in Ephesians. It says that pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer request there is. So just use whatever tools I've given you, use it. And the Bible does talk about different kinds of prayers. And actually, there's very few memorizationable. I guess that's not a word. Memorizing scripture, a pattern. But God gives you more patterns. There are a couple, like the Lord's Prayer, that we all memorize. But most of the time, it's a pattern. And even what Jesus said, when I pray, here's how I pray. Some people say, well, that's how you have to pray. I really think that he was giving them an example. Everything else, when he told a story, he gave them an example. And I think in prayer, he was doing the same thing. You can pray this, but here's what I do. And he went through what we know as the Lord's Prayer. But it says use everything you've got. And it's not, prayer is not a just before we eat. Prayer is not I'm in a tough situation or I'm at the bottom of this decision. And I can't find my way out. Something bad's happened. That's normally when we pray. When God to get us out of something. God to give me something. And that's not prayer. Prayer should be something, and again, that verse is that we do every day. I mean, every time, all the time. Prayer should be what you do before you respond to that text message that you just got that has your blood boiling. Prayer should be what you do before you go into the room to speak to your husband or your wife when you know that you're angry and you're about to say something dumb. Prayer should be what you do before you type out that email. And you're going to let them have it. Knowing that you're about to send that out into digital eternity and it's not coming back. You should go, God, should I send this? Before you hit send. Before you put it out there. Before we make major life decisions. But the problem is, when do you stop and start? Well, my encouragement is don't stop. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Then it's not that you're constantly walking around talking to yourself and people think you're crazy. It's you're just constantly having a conversation with God. You're constantly connected to the one that's supposed to lead us and guide us. Well, if you remember in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was simply a portable church, and they moved it around, and that's where the people of God went. And there were 7 pieces of furniture that they had to go through. And I taught this about a year or so ago, and I just kind of refreshed it because I wanted to bring us back as we started prayer this week. But I want to give you a pattern. If you're asking this week, what do I pray? How do I pray? What, you know, because if you're like me, if they say, I got an hour to pray, I can walk in here, sit down, say some things to God, and then my mind just goes, and I'm thinking about all the stuff I got to do, all the work I got to do, the people I got to call, the places I got to go. And so for me, it helps to have a pattern. And so this is one I've been using even during the week or when I'm going through my day, not just on the 7-day week of this year, but this is what I do. And I'm gonna give it to you again. And so I want this, you can follow this. But you need to understand, see, God lived, the Bible says in the Old Testament, God dwelt in between the angels. There's 2 angels on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the presence of God dwelt. Well, now in the New Testament, if you don't know this, the Bible says that God actually lives where? Right here. He lives in us. The Bible says, and this is not in your notes, but in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you realize that your body is the temple? Your body is the temple of God. He lives here. He's now with us everywhere we go. We don't have to go to a place where he is. He's now with us. So I want to start our 7 days and restart 2020. And I want to give you some things, and I think it'll keep you going. Again, don't forget to get your prayer guides this week. We're going to get those to you. If there's not enough, we'll get the prayer guides for the week. But the second thing is this pattern. And sad thing for our society, prayer only becomes something you do, like I said, when you need something. I need God to give me something. I need him to fix something. I need him to get me out of a situation. And that's what we do when we come to God. We just present our list. Now, let's be honest. It's not a bad thing, but I'm just curious. Anybody have a prayer list, and on it is only things that you need? Anybody, even if it's a mental list. You go to God and pray, and you think, okay, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And maybe down somewhere at the bottom, oh, and God, oh, yeah, I love you. Right? Just how we're conditioned, even a materialistic American culture, that's how we pray. And I'm going to give you this pattern. Here's the first thing you should do, because God's already done everything he needs to do for us. And the first thing you need to do is give God thanks. Say thank you. God, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for paying a debt that I could never pay. You express to God how thankful you are. You express to God, God, I don't even want to think about where I could have been. God, I don't even want to think about where I was a year ago and where you brought me to now. Thank you, God. Thank you for moving in my life. Thank you for sending your son. And just find some, even sometimes, let me ask you this. Anybody ever forced your child to say thank you? Does it sound like they really mean it from the bottom of their heart? No. Well, I'm convinced that a lot of times that's how we sound to God. But what I'm encouraging you is, even if you sound that way, do it. We can't force your kids to have the feeling, but you can force them to say it. And sometimes even saying it, God, I thank you, begins to build that gratitude. Because gratitude in your heart makes what you have more than enough. When you're thankful for, well, if you just have a little and you're thankful for it, and the gratitude makes it enough. But if that little bit is just, I'm ungrateful, then it's never enough. And it leads us away from God. So say thank you to God. The Bible says in Psalm 100 that we're to enter into his courts. That doesn't just mean the back doors of the church or whatever church you may go to. The Bible says that, I believe when we get up in the morning, you put your feet on the ground and say, good morning, God, thank you for today. Thank you for letting me breathe and take another breath today. But it says enter and give thanks to him and then praise his name. Say thank you. Again, this is a pattern you can follow. In Hebrews it says, since we are receiving the kingdom that is unshakable, what God's done for us can't be wiped away. Nobody can take it away. Then he says, and let us be what? Be thankful. When's the last time you said thank you to God for making your eternity secure? A lot of us come to church. A lot of people do. They come to church, they get saved, they punch their ticket to heaven, they put their ticket in their pocket, and they walk away from God. And there's no gratitude. There's just this untrue peace that we have that somehow life's going to be okay right now. And your eternity may be secure, but that's not following God. It's not gratitude. It's not thankfulness. We've been made a part of something unshakable. Don't lose sight of what God's done for you, that he's rescued our eternity. And that's why when we move from being thankful, you can move to thanking him and focus on the cross. Focus on his sacrifice. Do you realize that Jesus had a choice? Jesus had a choice. The Bible says that he could have taken himself down off the cross and said, I'm out of here. But he didn't. He stayed at a time in our lives where we were, the Bible says in Romans here, that says that we're utterly helpless. And as you pray, and again, it's not when you're praying, you're just talking to God. And when I have a conversation with somebody, I try, if you talk for a few minutes, you try to take a breath and do what? Now you got to listen. And when you begin to see these things, God will talk back. But thank God for his goodness to you. Begin to focus on the cross. Begin to focus on what he's done for you. This one's not in your notes, but in 2 Peter 24, it says, talking about Jesus, that he personally carried all of our mess on his body so that we can be what? Alive. And we do what's right. And oh, by the way, while you're alive, you can have healing. That you focus on the cross, focus on the sacrifice. This, we even talked about it during communion. It used to be that the Israelites had to go and make atonement for their sins every year. They had to have the perfect lamb. They had the priest. Only the priest could go in. It was a big deal. The Bible speaks of Jesus as the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. And once that perfect sacrifice was made, no more blood sacrifice had to be made. Jesus paid that price, a price, again, that we could never pay. Then you come to this point. So you thank God. You're focusing on the cross. And then there's a part that I get people, they look at me and go, okay, whoa now. Back the bus up, preacher. Okay, I get it. I'm be thankful to God for things he's done. And I can understand that Jesus made a sacrifice and he died on the cross for me. But you're about to cross the line now because what's mine is mine and I want to be in control of mine because I'm a control freak. Anybody else a control freak? I am. I asked my wife when we met in college, and she was a head RA of a dorm, and I wasn't allowed to go in, and she was really, really sick right after we met. And if you've been here before, you've heard me tell this story. I sat outside the dorm, and I would like find girls that I knew were on her floor and like buy a thing of chicken soup, and I'd send it up with them, and then I'd send up a box of tissue with them, and then I would, because I just wanted to help, but it was more a control thing for me, and a lot of us live our lives that way. We say, God, I'm going to worship you, and I thank you and praise you. And God says, okay, well, what about your life? You can't have that. You saved it, but you can't have it. Because the next thing you do when you pray is, why don't you offer God every part of your life? Try it. See what happens. See what happens when God, really, you do lay down your life to him and stop faking it. Because a lot of us do. A lot of us enter in times in our lives where we're completely faking it. We're showing up at church, and the bottom line is we're in control, and I make my own decisions, and nobody tells me what to do. See, it's here that we ask God to use our lives and to prepare us. That maybe you're not doing exactly what God wants you to yet because he needs to grow you up a little bit. Maybe he needs to improve your skills. You know, as when we do auditions and we bring people on to the worship dream team, very rarely do we just pick you out of and put you up here. Because there is something to that part of the dream team that you got to kind of prove yourself, and what's my abilities and what can I do? Because I know a whole lot of people, and American Idol is proof of it, that think they're talented, and mama's been lying to them, right? It's that American Idol syndrome of, oh, yes, honey, you can sing. And they can't carry a tune in a bucket, right? So there are those things. Maybe God's preparing you. Maybe you need to get better. Maybe there's an area of your life that God's, your purpose is to make a difference. And maybe you just need to let him help you out. Look what the Bible says here in Romans. It says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Give your life to God because he's done what? Because of what he's done for you. Because of the sacrifice. Because of your gratitude. The kind to make a sacrifice that is acceptable. Truly, this is the way we worship him. I want you to focus on two things, and I highlighted it there, the living and the holy. See, previously the sacrifice had to be dead and cut up and bloodshed. Now the Bible says that we can be a living sacrifice. So you're asking God, God, help me out. And the way I'm going to ask you to help me is I'm just going to give you my life and let you be the power, the driving force in my life. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1. It says, but you will receive power from on high. The Bible, this is the Holy Spirit. This is God coming to live on the inside of you. And here's the truth. If you don't have God in the mix, if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, then the truth of the matter is we're not going to make it. And that's why I don't mind people coming in and then they say, oh, I don't know if I want to do it that way, and they want to go out and try it themselves. And I think it's an easy convincing when they come back because they've been out and tried it and it didn't work. And they come back. Well, I tried it my way and I've failed. And sometimes it takes people two or three, four times going back and forth. And finally, they realize that it's by the power of God. When we offer Him our lives, God, improve me in my mind, my mouth, my eyes, my hands, my feet. God, help me take my one step, that step that we all know we need to take. If you're new here, we have our kind of hashtag is one step. It's outside. It's on the signs outside. That I truly believe our purpose is to help people take one step from where we are, one step closer to where God wants us to be. A lot of that can't happen until you offer God your life and quit snatching it back. You give it to Him, okay, God, I'm sorry, and then you take it back. Doesn't go the way you want, so you take it back. In prayer, you say, God, I'm going to offer you my life. What do you want me to do with it? God, what's my purpose? What am I here for? Begin to pray through that. Begin to pray through that. In Acts chapter 1, it says you're going to receive power. So again, invite God to work. After you do that, next, pray and ask God to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Invite the Holy Spirit to do something. Again, He's the power behind this. God, work in me. Help me use my gift. Teach me. Lead me. Guide me. I know there are a lot of you who don't believe this, but everybody in the room was created with a purpose. Everybody on this planet you weren't just an accident. God didn't just make too many people and go, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with them, so I'm just going to throw them all in Scriven County. We'll just let them hang out there. And that's the way a lot of us act. We think God just kind of threw us all here to get us out of the way. Well, I'm telling you, that's not true. I'm here because God put me here with a purpose. God put you here with a purpose. God put us all here to do something that's bigger than ourselves. And the bottom line is we need to invite the Holy Spirit to help me work. Something put in us to make a difference, and the Holy Spirit is the thing that drives it, that makes it go. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, Paul is writing to Timothy and he's talking about his grandmother, or his great grandmother, no, his grandmother and his mother. And he says to him this, he says, I'm reminding you to fan the flames. In other words, use them, the gift that God's given you. This is Paul saying, when I laid my hands on you. So for God has not given us this spirit of fear, but of love and of self-discipline. God's given you something to do, and it will drive you. And God, here's the ultimate thing with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is how He leads us. The Bible literally says that the Holy Spirit goes before us, making a way before man on the earth and before God in heaven. And David prayed this in Psalms chapter 5, verse 8. He says, God, lead me on the right path. Because if you don't, I'm going to get my rear end kicked. God, if you don't do what you said you would do and lead me, I'm going to wander off course. I'm going to walk into the minefield. I'm going to mess it up. But He says, now, God, make your way plain. The Bible says of the Holy Spirit that He will lead you. He will guide you. If you read through the book of Psalms, there's all kinds of psalms that David wrote about God leading him, about making paths straight, about making it obvious. God, don't let me turn to the right or to the left, but let me follow you. If you've never experienced it, it's kind of an exhilarating thing. As you grow and you learn and you learn to hear God's voice, and when you hear it and you respond and then you see the results, we would say that's a testimony. And I tell the young people this, listen, there's a lot that people can take from you. They can lead you down the wrong path. They can take things away from you. But one thing only you give up is your testimony. You choose to lay that down. And God can give you a testimony, and we muddy it up because we make choices. But if you go back and say, God, I did this because God led me. God gave me direction. So as you pray, you're asking the Holy Spirit to work, to move in my life. And again, God, if you don't leave me, it's not going to work. Show me what you promised. And that leads us into number five. Number five is pray his promises. Pray his promises. So you thanked him. You focused on the cross. You've invited the Holy Spirit in. You've asked him to take your life and offered him your life. But do you know the Bible, and I used to know the number, the Bible's full of, it's hundreds and hundreds of individual promises. And the problem is with a lot of us, is if you don't know that God's promised it to you, you're not looking for it. You can't pray the promise if you don't know it. Some of you will remember this, and I've done it before, and usually once a year I'll do it. And I'll tell you, hey, right now there's a gift card underneath somebody's seat. Y'all remember that? And then you see all grown adults like diving in the floor and checking all the empty seats and looking for the gift card. And the whole point of the exercise is that could be $1 million taped to the bottom of your seat. But if you don't know it's there, you can't do what? You can't receive it. Now, there's no cards or no $1 million. If you find $1 million, it belongs to the church. Please give it back. But if you don't know it's there, and what I find this praying the promise does is it not only gets you to learn the promises, but it gets you talking to God about a promise. Again, I go back, and a lot of this works in the story of a child talking to a parent. Anybody got a child that if you promise them something, they are not going to let you forget it? If any of you know my daughter Emma, my 17-year-old, I have a special needs child, some of y'all have even learned, like, you don't say things around her, because if you tell her, hey, one day, why don't you come over and eat dinner? Like, she's, okay, when? Now? Let's go, right now. Come on, dinner. And then when y'all go home, we stay up all night because Emma comes to us and say, are we going to Mr. Ken's house? Are we going to Mr. John's house? Are we going to Mr. No, they said in June. It's January. Okay, well, tomorrow then. No, June is. But she remembers that somebody's promised her something. See, sometimes I think we need to have that same kind of tenacity with God. So, God, you promised me. God doesn't mind when you call him on his word. God minds when you call him on something that he never promised us. Matter of fact, coming in, I think in March, I'm going to do a series called God Never Said That. And we're going to take a look at things that we all say that God never said. A lot of us, and some of you are guilty because I've heard some of you say it. We talk about cleaning around the house, or you're really neat freaks, and you say cleanliness is next to. Not in the Bible. If you can find it, bring it to me. Now, I'm not saying that's an excuse for your house to be nasty and trashy, but it's not in the Bible. It's not an excuse for you not to come to church and take a bath and, you know, put on some clean clothes. We would all appreciate that, but it's not in the Bible. But he's got these promises he's made us, and the only way you can receive them is if you know it. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, and Jesus said, hey, man's not going to live on bread alone, but on what? Every word. Well, the way you pray his promises is you know his word. You know what the Bible says. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is a great place in your prayer. If you're sitting down, you've gone through the steps, and you pull out the word. Say, God, I want to pray. I'm going to pray, and I want to talk to you about what you promised me. Pull out the Bible. If you don't know where to go, we've got another solution for you. We started the beginning of this year with 1 year together reading through the Bible. If you don't have it, go onto your app store on your phone, or you can actually go online and pull down the YouVersion, and you can go on our website. There's actually a link to it. It will take you straight to it. It will also, you can go to the app. It will take you there. And every day, it's a little bit of New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. Every day. Every day. I'm doing another plan, and I added this one on. I'm doing it with you. And we're all doing it. And every day, we're putting out a, hey, this is what it said today. What did you get? Hey, what did you read this today? And if you've not started, it's okay. Don't worry about trying to go catch up. Just start today. Because the only way you're going to know the promises of God is if you read them, if you get them internally, if you know about them. But the Bible says, look at this one. I love this verse. It's not in your notes, but in Ephesians 6. And I'm going to skip through it, but you can read from verse 10 to verse 18, but I'm going to skip through these verses. It says, put on all of God's armor so you can stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Part of praying is to position you where you can be successful. Because there is a real enemy, there is a real devil, and not to get spooky spiritual, but it is just truth. There's a devil, and the bottom line is he wants you dead. He wants to take your life out. He wants to keep you from doing anything. And if he can't keep you from salvation, once you're saved, he tries to keep you from as far from following God's plan for your life as he can. And prayer, knowing his promises, keeps us in line and keeps us going in the right direction. But it says, if you skip down to verse 17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Which is the what? The Word of God. Whether it's on your phone, and I'm bad, and I know some people who they want the paper, and if you're a paper person, then great, take the paper. But I've got my iPad, and on my iPad, I've got hundreds of versions of Bible. How many can you carry? Just one, but I get a. That's why I love my iPad, I love my phone. But if that's not your thing, great. Get you an old paper Bible and go through it. Read it with us. Put on the armor, because then it goes, it says all of that, and then it ends with this verse. It says, now do what? Now pray. Once you've read the word and you're eating the bread, now pray. Pray on every occasion. This is the verse we started with. Pray on every occasion. Don't just pray when you need to eat. Don't just pray when you need some help. Don't just pray when you get a bill. Don't just pray when your car breaks down. Don't just pray when your son or daughter calls you and they're in trouble, when your marriage is in trouble or life goes south. Don't just pray then. Pray all the time. Talk to me about it. Here's the other thing I find. People act like God is surprised. God is not surprised when you mess up. He knows that we're human. He knows that we're going to have issues. And when you do mess up, guess what? He already knows you have. So we pray like, again, here's a child. You ever have a child come to you and start talking and you're wondering, why are you talking about this? Because I'm beginning to understand that you're not telling me the reason you're here is because you broke a window or you did, and they're trying to lead up to telling you something, and you already know what they've done. We do that to God. The Bible says that we can come boldly before God. I think sometimes we just need to kind of open the doors up and go, it's me, God. I blew it, and I'm sorry. Because he already knows that we go boldly. But the Bible says pray every time. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Did you know this about your life? That our lives, the Bible says several times in several places, that our lives are like a fragrance. One version says a sweet-smelling fragrance. So once you've given him your life, then you need to understand this. And this is number six. And this is worship. In your prayer time, have a time for worship. Now, this is not a message of can you sing or not. This is not a message of can you play guitar or not, or can you play keyboard or have any musical ability at all. Because that's not just what worship is. Worship is a combination of saying thank you. Worship is a combination. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That's why on the app we gave you a link to a list of hours and hours of worship music that you can just play and follow along and lock yourself in your car. And I know y'all do it because some of y'all posted on Instagram yourself singing. You're riding down the road singing your favorite country tune. Some of y'all, the older folks, they're singing their old 80s rock and roll. I saw a friend of mine the other day, he said, I can't sing, and he filmed himself right down the road singing the old, Poison, Pour Some Sugar on Me? Yeah, some of y'all are laughing because you know exactly what this is. And I said, man, if you can do that, just switch it over to the Christian station and just sing whatever's on and just worship God. It's different from praise. Praise is thanking him and celebrating. But move a little further. Worshiping is worshiping who he is. You know, the Jewish people had a lot of names for God. They had a name based on what he did. He was master. He was savior. He was protector. He was healer. He was peace. He was my healing. He was my righteousness. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18. The Bible says of God's name, that when you're worshiping him, that the name of the Lord is a strong fortress, that the godly run to him, because that's what he does for me. I can hide within him, and I can be safe. The Bible says in Psalms 95, that come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before our Maker. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but maybe this week during prayer, if you can come in the morning or come in the evening, you take just a second right there in the chair and just get down on a knee. There's somebody here. If you can't get up, just go, hey, holler at them. We'll come help you get up. But get and just say, God, I'm laying my life down before you. I'm going to kneel before you, and I'm going to worship. We'll have worship music playing here if you're in your car. Just this, again, this is not just for this week. This is a pattern you can follow throughout the year, that you spend some time in worship. That He is our God, and we are His people, and God, you're caring for us. I'm under your care, and I worship you. It's a new thing if you've never done it before. It'll help you take a step in your walk with God. Then the last one. In the Old Testament, I said this earlier, the Bible says that the presence of God rested. It had to inhabit the ark, and there's two angels, and the angels both had their wings up, and in between those angels, as the Bible says, that's where the presence of God dwelled. And if you remember the old Indiana Jones movie, that's kind of what it does look like. But it was called, that place was called the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was the place that the one priest, the one man a year that could go all the way in, he had to be perfect, have all his ducks in a row. And if he wasn't, when he walked in, he died. But the reason he went in is to atone for sins, and not only atone for sins, but also to pray for the people of Israel. And that's what I think number seven needs to be. When you begin to close out your day, to close out your time of prayer, maybe, that pray for somebody else. Pray for others. Pray for your family. Pray for me. Pray for your... The Bible talks about all these, even in Scripture, of who we should pray for. 1 Timothy 2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that your petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving should be made for whose? Only the people you like? Only the politicians you like? Only the president you like or don't like? Only the governor you like or don't like? No, it says to pray for everybody. Pray for that person who, the Bible says, pray for those who spitefully use you. And you want to see some good things happen in your life? Start praying for people. I'm convinced it moves God, because He sees your heart is not about you. He sees your heart is about His people and reaching out to His people. And God's people, doing stuff for God's people, always moves God. Look what the Bible says, and where did I go here? In Timothy here, that we're supposed to pray for all of those in authority, that we live peaceful and quiet lives with godliness and holiness. And look at James chapter 5, verse 16, and we'll close here. Because here's why I believe it's important. Not only that we pray for all those things, but that we pray for people, because the Bible is very clear that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great what? Power. And not only has power, but that power produces results. There's somebody, I guarantee you, if you know Jesus, you may not know the person, somebody was praying for you. Somebody was asking God to knock on the door of your heart. Somebody was asking God to move in your life. We pray for you. I just had somebody tell me this morning, hey, I'm praying for you. And my response is, thank you, I need it. Because I can't do this without the power of God. I can't do this without leaning my ear in to God. So I encourage you, as we begin to go through this week, one, take your 3x5 card. If you haven't got one, we'll get you one. Drop it in the offering, and they'll get them up here. We're going to pray over these cards every day for the rest of the week. But take this pattern and begin to walk it out. If you don't know Jesus, if you say, Clint, or I've never made that commitment, then it's a simple prayer of, God, forgive me. I've messed up. I receive your Son as my Savior. And the Bible says your eternity is secure, and you can now begin to walk. And the Bible says now that you can go boldly to God and have a conversation with Him. For the rest of us, I just want to help you have a conversation with God. Help you learn to talk wherever you are. Have a conversation back and forth. Sometimes it's good just to listen. There's times during the week, maybe this week too, when I'll come in here and I'll pray for a few minutes, and I'm just going to sit and listen. God, if you got something, I'm trying. I'm listening. I think when we put our best effort forward, say, God, I'm listening and trying. Even if sometimes we get it wrong, God's excited because we're paying attention. We're listening. Why don't you bow your heads? Father, in Jesus' name. God, for those maybe who just prayed that prayer and said, God, I need to meet you for the first time. Jesus, I receive you today. God, I know that in heaven, celebrating now. And Father, for the rest of us, I thank you. If we've not been prayers, Father God, if we only talk to you when we need something or before a meal, that God, this week would be a new habit we would pick up. We would begin to have a conversation with you, to not only have a word with you, but have you give us a word. Whether it be through reading your word or an audible word within us through our Holy Spirit, that we can hear your voice. God, I pray what your word says, that we're able to hear your voice clear as the ringing bell. God, today, let that be us. Let you have our lives, Father God. Let us celebrate what you did on the cross, and let us be grateful for everything that you've done. God, we give you our lives, and we ask you to move in our lives, Father. And I thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you stand to your feet with me real quick? If you did make that decision, there's a card in front of you. Why don't you just mark it? You can also put a prayer request on there, and we'll put that up here with these pile, with these cards for the rest of the week. We'd love to have you participate in that. Again, we're going to be here Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then on Saturday all together at one time at 10 o'clock. I encourage you, drop in. If you can't drop in, use the app. I believe whether you're here with us or not, that prayer together works. It helps, and I think for us to be here as a family together. If you can come by. The church will be open, and we'd love to see you here. Why don't you grab your tithe and your offering, and I'm going to pray, and then the ushers are going to come, and as they come, you can drop your cards in there. If you're visiting with us, you're under no obligation whatsoever to give. If you want to worship in the giving, we'd love to have you. But I'm believing for a week, a good week, a week that's not just like any other week, but we come back with testimonies of how God has moved us forward as we pray and we just have a conversation with him this week. Amen? Let's try that again. Amen? All right, make sure you're still with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the ability just to have a conversation with you. God, I thank you today as we bring our tithe and our offering. Father, we do it as an act of worship. We do it as an act of gratitude, and we worship you, Father. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you that this house and that all the families represented here are fully financed to do everything you would have us to do. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us victory over the debt we could never pay, over the things that are coming against our life as we pray, as we seek you, as we take our one step. We worship you, Father God, and we thank you for a great week. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's